Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm TalkSport's cricket editor, John Norman, and with the County Championship just over a week away, bringing you four top-class interviews. Over the course of the next half an hour, you'll hear from Derbyshire head coach Mickey Arthur and why he knew the county bashing would start up again just minutes after England's test team lost to India earlier this month. Surrey captain Rory Burns on whether his side can do something no county has done since the late 60s. Durham's Alex Lees on whether his team can win Division 1 the year after doing the same in Division 2. And England and Surrey's Ollie Pope on his ambitions for club and country in 2024. Plenty to get stuck into here on the Following On podcast. First up then, let's head to Derbyshire. TalkSport's Luke Poulton-Hyde caught up with the Derbyshire head coach, Mickey Arthur.
Mickey, thank you for your time. Are you excited for the upcoming season?
Can't wait for the upcoming season. I just wish it would stop raining. But other than that, can't wait.
So no shorts yet?
No shorts yet. Absolutely no shorts yet.
I want to talk about the news that broke yesterday that Mohammed Amir will not be joining for the start of the season for Derbyshire. Could you give your thoughts on that for me?
Yeah, look, he phoned me yesterday. I quite understand where he's at with it. Yeah, he wants another World Cup, and I totally get that. The one thing that's good is with the PCB, you always have a contingency. So I have a contingency in place. You have to with when you deal with the PCB. So it is disappointing. Hopefully, and there's still a little bit of water to go under the bridge on that one yet. But we'll have him for our last six Vitality Blast games, which potentially could be the big ones. It is what it is, and we'll recover well. Very confident with the squad we've got, so we'll be fine.
I was going to say, I'm sure you're confident with the bowlers that you have got, but is there any replacements in the lineup on the horizon?
Maybe? We will certainly replace Amir. We've got obviously Blair Tickner coming, Chappell, Connors, both outstanding. Pat Brown's given us another dimension. Nick Potts is getting better all the time. Ben Aitchison hopefully in the next couple of months is going to be ready to go. So we have a nice smorgasbord of quick bowlers, but we'll certainly add one to that stable.
In relation to this, as a coach, how do you handle it when players have to go off to different competitions and you're missing them for a game or two? How do you handle that?
Well, it's just the cricket landscape now. And generally you've planned for it. If you know beforehand, you've prepared for it, you've planned for it, and I think the key to that is backing every one of the players that you have. So I back every one of our players in that dressing room, and I know if you throw them the baton, they will take that baton and run with it. They'll be ready, and they'll be ready to go out and perform for you. So, it's just you take it in your stride, plan properly, get enough depth, and you should be fine.
What are your goals for this year? Obviously, to win games, but what are your goals for players and individuals? Maybe
I think I've said a lot of times. If we're having this conversation end of September again, and we've been promoted to Division One, I would be extremely, extremely happy, because that shows that over 6 months we've played consistently well. I know that we have a white ball team that on its day can beat any team in the in the country. I'm confident that we'll be there and thereabouts in our white ball team. And then it's about just understanding what happens on the day. Mm-hmm. We've got to get ourselves to a quarterfinal. We're one game away from finals day, and then who knows after that. And then the 50 overs, depending on who we've got, we'll look to win that as well. So it's always hard to – I think as a coach, for me, it is player improvement. So if I see our players grow, our players get better, our players put themselves in positions to win us games of cricket, and then their ability to take those match-winning moments and making them proper for us, that fills me with pride and joy. So hopefully we've had a bit of those. We're a Division One county come September.
It's not just new player signings you've made this season. You've also got a new batting coach in Ben Smith. What are you expecting from him this year?
Ben's been outstanding since he's been here. His work ethic, knowledge. Ben had a really good career here in England. Very knowledgeable. He's been outstanding. The boys have really warmed to him. He's spent time with all our batsmen now, so he's got a pretty good understanding of them. He's been outstanding. I can't praise him highly enough.
Perfect. And I've got one more question for you. On relation to the England Test match, there was a tweet released by the cricketer that stated that it was unfair for the young spinners of Tom Hartley and Bashir and Rehan Ahmed to, quote, carry the can of a domestic league that doesn't work. What was your thoughts on that and your opinions on their statement?
Well, my opinions on that was it didn't take them long to start criticising the county championship. When England were playing well, nobody spoke about the county championship. And then they criticised it the minute it didn't go right, which I thought was unfair. And you know, we've got young Jack Morley here this year. You know, we're going to give him opportunity, because I do think that for England to become that test team that we want them to be, and they're very, very good, that is one area that they do need to improve, because you've got to go and play in the subcontinent. You've got to win in the subcontinent to be the best team in the world. So as long as we can develop a spinner for them, those spinners are allowed to grow and allowed to develop, England will get it right.
Why is it you think the county championship does get the blame straight away when something goes wrong? Why is that?
Well, I think it's just because it's just the kicking can all the time. You know, I've been in domestic systems around the world now. South Africa, Australia, Sri Lanka, Pakistan. I've seen it. I've coached in the West Indies, in Bangladesh. I've been all over. The county championship still attracts your best overseas players. They want to come and play here. Young players growing up in other countries want to come and be part of the county championship, and I wanted to come and coach in it. Coaches want to come and coach in it because it's a very, very good system. I think it does get unfairly tainted at times.
Big thanks to Luke and Mickey there, and it'll be fascinating to see if anyone can stop Yorkshire powering their way to the Division 2 Championship. Division 1 is where we'll focus from here on in, though, and the Kia Oval was a setting for Surrey's media day this week. Captain Rory Burns speaking to TalkSport's Scott Taylor.
So Rory, here at Surrey's media day, firstly, how's your winter been? How are you heading into the new season?
Yeah, a little bit of a quiet winter for me. You know, I've been here. So, yeah, just working hard here in at the Oval. A few of us lads have been here the whole time, probably 7 or 8 of us. Obviously, there's a lot of franchise cricket where the boys have been going around the world and those sort of things. And, yeah, a bit of daddy daycare for me.
Third championship in a row you're aiming for. How much motivation is that for you to try and achieve that, I guess?
Yeah, obviously, I know that's the outcome that everyone wants. You know, all teams in our division want come the end of the year. You know, there's a lot of hard work that goes between now and then to try and get that over the line. We've obviously begun that process, you know, back in November, the few of us that were here and those sort of things, and moving that on to now getting all the lads back together and talking about that. So, yeah, we're excited.
And the big news that came out of the club last week, Alex Stewart going to step down at the end of the calendar year. Just how big an impact has he had on you as a cricketer?
Yeah, massive. I mean, the Stewart family's had a pretty big impact on my cricketing career. His brother Neil, I suppose, one of his disciples from about 6. So, Yeah, they've had a big influence. It will certainly be a very different place with the gaffer not being here. Coming to the end of, what is that, 11 or 12 years. Yeah, it's a fairly decent stint, and it's hard to remember what came before him almost. So, yeah, we'll be looking to send him out the best we can. And, yeah, it's a bit of an emotional driver for us.
And you've brought in Dan Lawrence over the winter. How much does that help the squad sort of keep on their toes a bit and not get complacent? You've won a couple of championships now, and every year you added Dom last year, you added Dan this year. Just keep that lack of complacency, I guess, keep you on your toes.
Yeah, obviously, you know, Dan's a very fine player. You know, I've been able to see him up close. I've done a few tours with him and those sort of things. And, yeah, to add him into our ranks is brilliant. You know, obviously, adds with ball as well as bat. So, yeah, I mean, he's excited to get it going. It's really good for us. And, yeah, we're looking forward to it.
And to talk about some of your players that you've got. You've got Ollie Pope available for the start of the season now. He had that incredible innings in Hyderabad and then sort of struggled really for that series. But how much has he grown as a cricketer over the last year or so as a teammate, seeing him?
Oh, I think, you know, Popey came in, I think, when did he make his debut? He probably made it 18, I think, in a...
Was it home?
Was it... I think he made it in a... I think his one-day debut, he made it in a semi-final of the one-day cup.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, for us. And, I mean, seeing him come in from there, you also saw a cricketer there that was so hungry to learn, get better. That's still Popey now, so he's still not the finished article. There's still work in progress there, but his leadership in terms of his things that he does off the field, how he goes about his cricket on it, he's a pretty impressive character to be around, so it's no surprise seeing his success in the winter.
And he's obviously England vice-captain now, so there could be a time in the next year where Ben doesn't play a test and therefore Ollie will be England captain. What have you seen in him as a person and as a leader that makes you so confident that he can be good at?
I think he's got a great feel for the game. He's always coming up to me for us with opinions, what he's seeing. He's a good set of eyes and ears. In the dressing room, he's incredibly well respected. He's someone that you'll follow just because of how he goes about his cricket and how he works off it. And yeah, I think just naturally it's something that suits him. He's decisive. He's happy by living and dying by those decisions, which is part and parcel of being a captain. And yeah, I think he's made for it.
And you've got 7 county games. I was just looking at the schedule. I think you've got a last county game is on the 3rd of July, and then you've got 3 weeks off before the one-day cup starts. I remember you saying in 2022 that you went on a summer holiday, and that sort of can't happen in the cricket season. Where do you stand on the scheduling of the county game this year, and is it better to have a couple more games in June and July, albeit you've got that three-week break still?
I mean, it's a bit of a constant debate, isn't it, the scheduling? One thing I would say is I think, as cricketers in this country, I think we play the right amount. I would just probably question the cricket that we are playing. You know, for those that play in, I think, the 50-over tournament, it does feel a little bit like an afterthought. You know, could there be a reserve competition of the 100 where, you know, it's probably easier to pick guys that then need to become replacements in the 100 and that sort of thing alongside it? I don't know, that's a suggestion maybe. But yeah, I think... I like the amount of championship cricket we play. I think it really reflects it as a league. It gives it the sort of quality that it is as a league. I think the blast is important, obviously, for the counties and the finances of the game. And, yeah, the 100 is obviously brilliant and the uptake it's having. So, yeah, it's a difficult question. There's a lot of moving parts and I don't think there's any sort of right or wrong answer at the minute.
Is that difficult on you? You said it's the 50-over games, a bit of an afterthought. You played a few 50-over games last year. Is it difficult to motivate yourself, I guess, to get up for that when you've got the intensity and the quality of the championship, to go from that to then the one-day cup, which, as you said, feels a bit like an afterthought?
It's probably challenging, but that's part and part of being a professional. And also, I think probably the other challenge, and you know, for a place like us, I think we probably see 11 or 12 of our lads go to the 100. Obviously leaves us pretty threadbare as a squad to try and work around, so it's difficult from that respect, but it obviously gives opportunity to guys to put their names in the shop window.
And just how challenging, going back to the championship this year, will it be for you to try and attack it and go again, given the amount of quality in the league? You see Durham come up and what they've done under Ryan Campbell. You've got Lancashire, Essex, Hampshire, who are constant challengers, I guess. Is this probably the healthiest the champo's been in quite a while?
Yeah, I mean, it looks a very strong division, doesn't it? And like you say, some of those sides on paper are very good teams. Yeah, it's very competitive. It's always competitive. You don't really get a down week in the Championship. And that's why it's probably so nice when you win it at the end of the year, when you can be in that position and say, yeah, we're actually top of the tree because of how hard the work is that you've put in to get there. So, yeah, it'd be very rewarding if we manage to do it again. And, yeah, the hard work starts now.
And just a couple on you. How do you reflect on your season in 2023? It obviously didn't go the way you wanted in terms of runs scored, but even more hungry, I guess, to come back in 2024?
Yeah, that's it. You know, for me, it was an underperforming season, probably by the previous, however many before that. So, yeah, look, I want to contribute to wins from a personal standpoint. What I was really happy with and pleased by was my leadership through that. You know, it didn't really affect my captaincy and those sort of things, which it's generally one of the hardest things to do if you're not performing exactly how you want to. So, yeah, I'm hungry. Hopefully I can score a shed load of runs and captain really well again.
And what's your sort of ambition heading into the new year? Because you're 33 now. You last played for England 2 years ago. So a lot of people would say the drive is to get back into the England side. But I guess doing well for Surrey, what is your ambition?
I think performing really well for Surrey. I think first and foremost, if you take care of your home and you produce performances here, then all of a sudden people recognise you. That's how I did it the first time round, to obviously get that opportunity. And, you know, you can never rule anything out. 33 is actually not that old these days. So, yeah, I'm still hungry. There's hopefully, you know, a championship to try and go out and try and win again, which is exciting. You know, as a group, we want to win the 2020 as well. We want to win everything that we play in. So, yeah, there's a lot of drive, both personally and for this team, to keep producing results.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Rory Burns, of course, recently opened for England, and another guy with recent memories of playing in that position, Durham's Alex Lees, who spoke with TalkSport.com's Jack Cunningham.
Right, me with Durham opener Alex Lees. Alex, pleasure to speak to you. How was India with the Lions?
Yeah, it was great, to be honest. I probably, at the start of the winter, I probably didn't expect to go away on any representative cricket. So, you know, it was a little bonus for me, I think, on a personal level. You know, show the England selectors, you know, that I'm a decent player in the subcontinent. And we were well stocked with Durham players, which, you know, obviously always helps. So, you know, we had a pretty good 5 weeks.
You've been here for a good number of years now, key player. Does this place feel like setting home?
Yeah, I think particularly in sport, people sometimes feel like, you know, they want to be a one-club man, or, you know, have a full career and it's the be-all and end-all. But I think, you know, for me, moving up here has certainly been the best thing for my cricket, and, you know, even integrated within the area. I mean, I've got a couple of young kids now, and they're both Durham born, so northeast lads. We, you know, we love living up here. It's a great place to live, beautiful part of the world, people are amazing. You know, we feel very settled up here, and you like to say, cricket wise personally, you know, it's been the best decision I've made.
What makes playing cricket Durham so special?
Yeah, I think, you know, I probably alluded to it in earlier. I think, you know, the area and representing the Northeast, you know, it's quite a big area to cover. Mm-hmm. I think the Northeast in general are real passionate about sport. I think our luxury with cricket is that we're the only cricket team, unlike, you know, football, which we obviously know the big rivalry in the Northeast. So, you know, they're passionate, friendly people to play for, and you know, you really know that there's that sense of pride to represent the area, and you know, we want to go out and, you know, put on a good show.
Definitely. Obviously he's one of the more experienced members of the team. I mean, how do you advise some of the younger ones now, inexperienced ones?
I mean, I don't know about you, but this new generation, they don't listen to anyone, so so I keep my head down and see if anybody puts their hand up and asks me if anybody ever asks me anything. I'm obviously forthcoming in advising whatever which way I can, but the younger generation, they're pretty headstrong.
Fair enough. Last season, top run scorer in County Championship 2, average of 70. Confidence must be flowing into the new year.
Yeah, I think, you know, I was delighted with last year. I think the previous winter I'd been left out of the England team, and I didn't want that to sort of define my upcoming season, and I had a real focus on, you know, just trying to get myself back in the picture. So yeah, I'm confident. I think obviously the experience you gain over the years is invaluable, and I just can't wait to get the county championship going, really. And I'm pretty excited with the group of players that we've got, and I think Durham, you know, I think a few people have us on their radar.
Yeah, I think you kind of touched on it there. So, I mean, as a team, you know, what's feeling in the camp? What are the aims after being out of County Championship Division for so long? Because obviously it's been a long time.
Yeah, I think, you know, the process of the last few years has obviously been trying to amalgamate a decent squad that can, you know, compete for the top end of Division 1. So we're all pretty confident. I think we, you know, have developed some really exceptional young fast bowlers. So we've got a good stock there. We've made some good signings, I think, as well, coming into this year, and overseas signings. So I think everyone's pretty confident. There's a great feel around the place, not just the players. I think, you know, all the staff, you know, we have quite a, you know, good togetherness, and I think everybody's pretty excited to get going.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, looking at England now, obviously there's a lot of criticism since they've come back from the 4-1 defeat. I mean, what have you made of all that, really? Did you think 4-1 was maybe a bit harsh? Do you think ultimately that was a fair scoreline? Also, what have you made of, like, what people have been saying about Basball?
I think it's always the challenge when people do something different out and it's outside of the norm. You always have people who, you know, going to criticise. I think, you know, the focus really needs to be about the bigger picture, and obviously the result is not ideal, and it's not the result that England, you know, wanted. But barring that India series, every series I've either been a part of or watched, I think, has been exciting. It's drawn in more people to the grounds. It's trying to inspire the younger generation to come and play. And, you know, it's a tricky one because, you know, the purists will always say, you know, it's purely results series driven, which, you know, to some extent, of course, it is. But, you know, the wider picture and you know, what is that brand of cricket doing for English cricket within England and youngsters? And, you know, it's not something necessarily that you can measure, but, you know, as a young kid, you know, I know what I would be more engaged to, and, you know, it probably wouldn't be attritional cricket. So, you know, I can't criticise England for trying to play the cricket, how they're doing. And, you know, I think it takes a brave leader, head coach and captain, you know, to go out and try and deliver a philosophy regardless of the criticism. So, you know, so I think hats off to him.
And I think it's forgotten how hard it is to actually go to India and even win a test.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing. I think, you know, can't remember the last time we obviously won in India, but
they've won 17 consecutive series now.
So, you know, so ultimately what that is telling you, and that is obviously stats, is that if you go and play normal cricket, you're going to lose anyway. So, you know, at least they had a go at doing something different. And, you know, that first test was an incredible win, you know, a historic win. It just, the unfortunate thing for the England team and obviously for the media is that, you know, if you could have done that for three games out of the five, you know, you're geniuses. But, you know, unfortunately it wasn't the case, and, you know, they're going to receive criticism.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what was training under Brendan McCullum like?
Yeah, I think it is great. I think, you know, the best people I've worked with under in my cricketing career, I think, you know, they empower the players. You know, they're very headstrong. They know what they do or that they do want and what they don't want. I think they just create good environments to allow people to express themselves and ask questions and develop areas that they want to develop without, you know, fear of failure. And I think, you know, to deliver that style of coaching and like management, I think is, you know, quite easy for people to say and to deliver. I think is actually, you know, the real challenge, you know, when you come under that scrutiny or under that pressure. So, you know, I think as a character, and you know their management between Ben and Baz, I think, you know, they, you know, they see a bigger picture outside of just them, and you know, it's great to watch.
Is Ryan Campbell similar in any way to McCullum?
Yeah, so you know, he does have some similarities. I think they both create a nice environment for players to be in and perform well. They've obviously got their differences in some of their cricket coaching and some of their views on the game, but particularly in their culture and the environment and how they want people to be within the group, I think has some crossovers. And ultimately, you know, they're both good people, which, you know, is at the core of, you know, their coaching and style, which is obviously massively important.
So obviously England Test team, big summer ahead. What are your thoughts on getting back into it?
Yeah, I think when you get left out of the team, I think everybody's ambition is to get back in the team. I think, you know, fair play to Ben and Zach. I think they played, you know, beautifully in India. So, you know, I'd be naive to think that there's going to be a spot for come first test available. And rightly so, you know, they've played really nicely this winter. So, you know, I think my main focus is, like you say, is doing whatever I can do, you know, to be in that picture that if, you know, unfortunately, if there's an injury or if there's a circumstance that is afforded an opportunity, that I am that person that hopefully can, you know, be in that position. And that's probably as far as I'm looking at it, really, you know.
Finally, Alex, who should Durham fans be excited about this year, other than yourself, of course?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they get too excited about me anyway, 30-year-old Dowie Yorkshireman. But,
nah, that's decent strike rate last year.
I think the obvious thing, and the Durham fans probably won't like to say it, but I think everybody's excited to see how Scott Boland will perform in county cricket and bowling at the Riverside. I think if we're looking closer to home and probably at the Durham, I think we've got some really exciting talent. I think a couple of them may not necessarily start within the team, but I think throughout the year there's going to be some opportunities for some young guys like a Bushnell or McKinney, or we have a young Mustard. So, you know, these sort of guys that, you know, it might not be them, it might be somebody else. We got, you know, quite a few, but there's going to be somebody I think who will pop up out of our younger group of players that is going to really put in some performances. And I don't know who that is. I can't pinpoint that person, but there's definitely going to be a youngster that I think the fans are definitely going to look forward to watching.
And lastly, back to the Oval we go. Ollie Pope talking with TalkSport's Scott Taylor this week.
So, Ollie, thanks for joining us. Just your reflections on the winter. You had a good knock in Hyderabad, but how do you reflect on the India tour?
Yeah, frustrating. I think that's a great memory for me to have. Also feels like a fair long time ago now, that first game. But I wanted it to be a series after that first knock, especially where I went and scored 600 runs in the series. Annoyingly, didn't find the form for the rest of the series. And from a team's point of view, it's frustrating in that I felt like we're right in the game for probably three of the five tests. But we just had the odd bad session, which really put us way behind it. And in India, to go win out there, you need to be relentless with your cricket. You need to be brilliant over 5 days. And that's probably the most frustrating thing of them all.
And how much are you looking forward to the new championship season? It's obviously going for a third straight title, but with Durham included this year, it looks like a strong pool of teams in the championship this year.
Yeah, it does. And I think, yeah, you look at Durham and they're obviously a team that have gone up and they've got a seriously strong side. So they'll be another great team to compete against. But yeah, I can't wait to get going. I think I always love coming back playing for Surrey. We've got a strong team and a good set of lads in that changing room. And it's obviously playing at the Oval every other week as well is pretty special too. So to get back is, yeah, it's a pretty exciting feeling. And yeah, excited to get going. Obviously, we've got Lancs next week to start off the season.
Can you just elaborate on Surrey a little bit more? Because you and Ben Folkes were two players, I think it was in 22, that came straight from England to play for Surrey, because you said, oh, you love playing for Surrey so much, you didn't want to miss out. Why do you love playing for Surrey so much? What is it about the club?
Yeah, I mean, it's a balance, but you want to stay fresh. You don't want to play every single game just because you're going to be knackered by the end of the year or middle of the year, and that's probably the main thing. But I think, obviously, I've played at this club since I started when I was 7 years old, trying to play for the under-9s, and it's obviously very close to home. We've got a brilliant team, it feels like you're almost playing international cricket when you kind of look around our changing room, which is an awesome thing to have, and it keeps you sort of motivated as well, that you've got to kind of sort of try and lead the way within a very talented bunch of players. But and also, you're coming, what can you not want about obviously playing here, sunny day here, it's a nice place to bat, but it's just got a nice obviously atmosphere to it. And yeah, the club means a massive amount. It's obviously such a big club, so I think looking to get three titles on the bounce is enough inspiration to try and sort of come back and give it your all.
And added inspiration, I guess, for you, you mentioned how much the club means to you, but I guess a person that might mean so much to you, Alex Stewart, presented you with your test cap, announced he's stepping down at the end of the year. Just sum up what he's done for you as a player and the cricketer, I guess.
Yeah, I think you chat to almost every bloke in that changing room, they've probably got a little story about Stewie, which is a reason why they are where they're at now. He awarded me under-9 player of the year, which is a cool picture that we've got saved, and he gave me my first contract when I wasn't necessarily expecting it. Probably, I don't know if it was earlier than I should have, but that was obviously a big honour, and then giving me my test cap, which was incredibly special as well. So there's obviously a lot of sort of special moments and memories that he's produced, and that's allowed me to go on and play for England. And sort of, I think, like I said, everyone owes him a hell of a lot, and I mean, he's the, in our eyes and a lot of people's eyes, he's the face of Surrey. Obviously Mickey Stewart, his dad, his brother Neil is a brilliant coach in the academy as well, and it's just in the family, the badges in the family, really. So he's going to be a massive miss for us, but hopefully we can go out and do him proud for this season, hopefully win a few trophies.
And let's talk about you at number three. Obviously scored that big 100 in Hyderabad. There's been a lot of talk about the way you start innings, and it's been described as quite frenetic. Are you quite a nervous starter? Are you aware of that? Or?
I'm aware of it. I think in India, I think so. It's something that I've worked hard on. I reckon I used to be a nervous starter, and I'm not saying I'm not now. I think there's always a few nerves when you start batting, and I think what I worked hard on in England, sort of leading up to, obviously, especially in that number three role, I got a lot better at starting. I trusted my defence a lot more. And I think in India, for me, my game plan was almost based around trying to put the bowler under pressure at the start of the innings. And that's what brought me success in that first test. And it did at other points during the series, but obviously not enough. And I think in India, when I probably just didn't adapt my game quickly enough to the pitches that we were on. I think we played on a few pitches as the series went on where you can actually really trust your defence at the start of the innings rather than try and put the bowler under too much pressure. So I think for me it's a good learning, but I think it's not a nervous thing, it's not a skittish thing, it's more just I need to go out there with a slightly clearer game plan just for my first 20 balls and really trust my defence to get my innings going, because I know what I can do once I pass that 20-30 on that stage. And I think, yeah, like I said, something I've worked hard on in England, and it's a good lesson, it's a good learning point going forward as well.
And as someone who's in the leadership group of that England team, Ben spoke about last year showing, maybe over-exaggerating the aggressive way, getting out aggressively to show it's okay to do that. Is that subconsciously that come under your mind as well, maybe, as vice-captain?
I'm not going to... Not like that. I think I'd be... I'm always disappointed when I get out, and I want to try and make the bowler get me out as much as possible. And if I get bowled a really good ball or get a bit of bad luck, you can sort of tip your hat to it. But I think for me it's just about making a game plan, and sticking to your game plan. Look, I think about cricket a lot, I think about batting a lot, and I think it's just trying to think as logically as you can and look at the pitch, look at the conditions, and set your game plan out before, whether that's sweeping early on against some of their bowlers or reverse sweeping, then so be it. But as long as I'm clear in my game plan and I'm kind of at peace with it rather than just making a rash decision out in the middle, which I felt like probably happened once or twice in India. And it felt like as soon as you kind of made that rash decision or small mistake, then you're out and it's just your innings is gone just like that. So I think for me, yeah, set the game plan, stick to it. And then, yeah, hopefully that can bring you success. And I want to keep being positive, but it's not for me, it's not about being reckless. It's about just trusting my game and trusting what I do.
And how much confidence does it give you as a player? We saw in Vizag, I think, ahead of the second test, Ben and Brendan did speak about the pitch and then consulted you over it. So how much confidence is it that you feel part of that proper leadership team, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely. I think with that kind of thing, I need to be in a position where if something happens to Stokesy just for a game or two, I'm ready to step up and take on that role. But at the same time, I want to be someone that can challenge Ben as well. And when I'm in those meetings, it's not about just always agreeing with what they say. If it keeps happening in the future, then it's just making sure I give my point of view, because that's what I'm there for. It's sort of there as an extra voice, extra set of ears as well. So I think the closer that I am with Stokesy, the more it can help sort of myself, him and the team as well. So I think that's obviously something that we want to keep on working on.
And with the amount of cricket that England play in test match cricket, there will inevitably come a time where Ben has to miss a test or two. How confident are you in making that step up and leading the country, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, hopefully, he's obviously had his knee issues in the past, but hopefully that's all sorted. But no, I feel good about it. I feel like I've been in this vice-captaincy role sort of not for ages, but long enough that, and I feel like my cricket brain's sort of there, and I've been watching how Stokesy sort of manages his bowlers on the pitch and manages the field positions and the placements. So I think if it were to happen, I feel good about it. But yeah, all being well, Stokesy plays each of the tests.
And you're predominantly a number three bat in test cricket. You spoke earlier on about the schedule and how it's been unlucky that you've not played white ball cricket. Is it quite frustrating to be sort of pigeonholed as a test number three as opposed to, because you're more than capable in white ball tournaments as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, I think, and all being well injury-wise, I think this is probably the first time in a few years where we've actually got a fair bit of white ball cricket that we can play. This summer, obviously, we've got the T20 Blast and we've got the 100 competition, which is I'm really looking forward to, and hopefully showing off my skills, and we can keep gaining skills that can help my test game as well. And then even in the winter, I think we've got a lot of cricket before, and then after there should be a block for white ball cricket. So I think although test cricket's always going to be my priority and my number one focus, and if I feel like there's any detriment to it, then that's always something to manage, but I feel like it can help me keep growing my game going forward, and yeah, hopefully get some good chances and put in some performances here in the T20 stuff as well as the 4-day stuff.
Big thanks to Mickey Arthur, Alex Leakes, Rory Burns and Ollie Pope. And if you like what you hear, please take the time to leave a 5-star review on the podcast page and follow us at @cricket_TS on Twitter. And for even more content, head over to the TalkSport Cricket YouTube channel and hit subscribe. But for now, thanks for listening to Follow Me.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.